Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter. Big news for Purdue football over the weekend. First with David Bell signing, then Marcus Bailey's decision to return for his senior season. I'm Kyle Charters, Brian Newbert here as well for Gold and Black Radio. We'll hit some football talk first, then basketball as Purdue starts a big week with road games at Michigan State on Tuesday and Wisconsin on Friday. Brian, though, first, the big news from the weekend involved the football team with David Bell's public commitment and as a result of that is his signing as well. Certainly not a huge surprise. I think the indicators were, if you were following the website and goldenblack.com, that were that he was going to pick Purdue and maybe had already done so. But the bigger picture is what it means for Purdue. I mean, the Boilermakers pick up yet another four-star commitment, have, I think what you called on the website, perhaps the best wide receiver recruiting class of anyone in 2019. Certainly, he's a big get for the Boilermakers.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that nationally. There are classes out there that have like two top 10 guys, but this is the best. This is the best receiver class. I mean, I only go back so far, you know, to the late 90s, but I can't imagine Purdue in its history ever signing a better wide receiver class than they are this year. Purdue had some good ones under Joe Tiller in them. I don't think they ever had four guys who were legitimately, you know, really, really high-level recruits, capped off by a guy who's, you know, a legitimate top 100 player nationally, the best player in Indiana, and simply, you know, quite honestly, a star. I mean, he is at the high school level, he's a star. And this is a class where early opportunity, you know, kind of made for that proverbial perfect storm where Purdue is still – they're at a place where they've had enough time to show people what they're going to do, but their depth chart is still to the point where there's this big opening for guys to come in and help you right away. I think Rondell Moore's success was pivotal in all of this. And I just think this is a class of wide receivers as good as you're going to get at Purdue ever. And it's obviously capped off by David Bell, who's just a player. You know, when it comes to prospects, we always talk about, well, how fast is he? How big is he? What does he do really well? And all those boxes are checked with him. But the best way to put it with him is he's just a player. He just has a knack for making plays. He's just a really, really good football player and a guy whose game and his physical ability should translate pretty well to the college level. He's going to walk into a situation here where Purdue's got a need for a guy right away to come in and help him right away. He's going to have every chance, if you ask me, to earn a starting position right away. He's got the physical gifts to do it. He's got the maturity to do it, I think. He's got everything you could possibly want in a player, not only just as a prospect, but as a prospect coming into the situation he's coming into next year. If he stays healthy, and I only say that because he's had a couple of nagging injuries over the past year and a half in high school, but if he stays healthy, I think he's going to be a guy who really, really helps them starting next year and, you know, turns out potentially to be a really, really high-level player at Purdue and a guy who can bring them a great deal of notoriety in Indianapolis, who can really do a lot for the program beyond just his play.
Yeah, certainly sets up a training camp next fall. That should be pretty interesting from a wide receiver alone perspective with the number of young guys, including those freshmen along with the redshirt freshmen and David Bell competing for starting spots. So let's go back a couple of years to, I don't know, 2015, 2016. If I tell you then that in a couple of years, Purdue would have three players playing in the Army All-America Bowl, and it would be to the point now where 2 years in a row, a player made an announcement in which they faked toward the Ohio State hat to pick Purdue. And that was now becoming a thing where it wasn't like, unusual for Purdue to be in that situation. I mean, you had to think that was pretty crazy. The amount of publicity that Purdue now has gotten from this in a couple of years is almost immeasurable, right? And how that could help Purdue's recruiting, you know, now and in the future.
Yeah, and Purdue has sort of transformed itself beyond just what Jeff Brohm and his staff have done. I mean, obviously the university made a pretty high level commitment to playing big time football here. You know, back in 2015, 2016, using the frame of reference you just mentioned, we didn't know Purdue was going to have this sparkling facility. We didn't know, you know, they were going to be paying coaches at a pretty up to code level. You know, we didn't see what Purdue is independent of just its coaching staff. When a university makes that kind of commitment, gets the right people in place, obviously Purdue has with its coaching staff, early opportunity really matters. Offensive reputation, offensive identity really, really matters. This sort of stuff has really just kind of transformed Purdue from a recruiting perspective. And, you know, that was pretty evident on Saturday when, as you said, this is a pretty premier all-star game that's on NBC every year. Purdue's not just had two guys make their announcements at it 2 years in a row, but had two other guys who were already committed playing it. Cannot put a price tag on the sort of value that comes in that from a buzz perspective, from a momentum perspective. That's what's driving all this. You know, Purdue has been able to continually produce excitement about itself. And then as soon as perhaps one phase of that excitement passes, they're able to regenerate that. And it just continues on and on and on, whether it's been Jeff Brohm turning down other jobs, whether it's been recruiting wins, whether it's been big wins during the season. It's just, they've been able to maintain excitement, buzz, momentum, whatever word you want to use, over and over and over again, to the point where it really has never just dropped off. And that was a big part of, you know, what we talked about coming into this season, is Purdue came out of last season with a lot of momentum, a lot of buzz, and how were they going to be able to maintain that? Because it's a pretty fleeting thing. It's a hard thing to keep going. They just kind of went out and beat Ohio State, and then got, you know, they obviously had George Karlaftis before that, got a lot of high level recruits, and then obviously David Bell at the very end of it. It's been, for a team that went 6-7, this year has gone, you know, really, really well from a continuity of buzz perspective for Purdue. And that's not an easy thing to do.
Marcus Bailey on Sunday night announces that he will return for his senior season. I don't think that was real shocking. This is something he had been considering from even before the 2018 season started, that maybe there'd be a possibility that that would be his last year, but he chooses to come back, you know, saying in part that the game and the bowl game left a little bit of a sour taste in his mouth. I would imagine too that the NFL gave him some news that made him feel like maybe another season was needed at Purdue. But, you know, all that said, from a Purdue perspective, getting Marcus Bailey back is huge in multiple ways. A, he can play, but B, the leadership value that he provides on a team that pretty young defensively is huge as well.
Yeah, continuity really matters. And being old really matters when you're in this position where you've still got these kind of depth chart gaps coming up at you as the roster, you know, hasn't completely turned over yet. And anytime you can have not just a good player, but a stable presence, an important leader, stay around a little bit longer, that really helps kind of bridge those gaps right away. I think you would see the same thing in a couple of years if Elijah Sindelar gets that 6 year of eligibility, or however you want to properly term that. I know it's technically not a 6 year of eligibility, but if he gets that waiver and stays around a little bit longer, it's really, really hard in a situation where a coaching staff just took a job 2-3 years ago to not feel that when you get to a certain point in that process, because typically a bunch of guys fall out of the program. Typically the new coaching staff recruits at a higher level than the last one. The young guys start replacing the older guys in the two deeps. And then before long, you're young and then you're staying young. When you can keep your older guys in the program a little bit longer, from a continuity perspective, that stuff really matters. To get your young players around the older players for a little bit longer, who they can learn from, who can be that important presence that can really, really make a difference. It's just huge on top of the simple practicality of Purdue has to get significantly better on defense next season. And the presumption there, obviously, is now that all the younger players have some experience, that's going to happen organically. But when you look at this recruiting class coming in, a lot of the younger guys are going to supplant some of those older guys. You're still going to be young. Mm-hmm. And to have that sort of experience presence as part of that still is probably something you can't really properly put into words. It's so important.
Let's turn our attention to basketball. We'll do that here after the break. The Boilermakers have put together perhaps their most two complete games of the season, at least in the last month or so. But, boy, they're going to be tested this week with road games at Michigan State and Wisconsin. We'll talk about that here in just a moment on Golden Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Braum Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights, and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there, too, with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. All right, a couple of late starts this week for Purdue, which I'm sure Brian loves, and the guys with early morning radio shows love as well. Purdue playing at 9 o'clock on Friday night against Michigan, 9 o'clock then at Wisconsin. So, Brian, a lot of the analytics look good for Purdue. It's a reason why, you know, if you look at some of the experts, the bracketology, Purdue's still in the NCAA tournament at this point. They've played a really difficult schedule. Now they've lost some of those games. They pick up a big one against Iowa at home. We'll see how the Hawkeyes are. I still have questions about them a little bit. But you've got an opportunity now this week against two good teams, maybe better than that, potentially, at least with Michigan State, maybe a great team. But Purdue playing some of its best basketball, at least here over the last couple of months. Is Purdue in a good position going into these two games?
Well, I don't know if you're ever in a great position going to Michigan State when Michigan State's top 10 in the country. I don't think this is a really good Michigan State team, obviously. I don't know if this is the sort of supremely talented Michigan State team that they were last year. They often have been. I don't know if there's any lottery picks on this team. That being said, they're going to present some very unique challenges for Purdue. Challenges that Purdue's probably not seen yet this season. They're unbelievably physical. Painter called them the most physical team he's ever seen in the Big Ten. in his coaching tenure at Purdue that starts obviously with Nick Ward, Kenny Goins, Xavier Tillman, all of those big, you know, penalty killing unit type of guys that Michigan State always has. They just have a lot of them. They're really, really physical. Cassius Winston's the best point guard in the Big Ten. I think it's close. They obviously are always going to be a pretty up-tempo offense. They're really going to kind of push the pace of games. I don't know if Purdue's seen anything like this. I don't think they've seen an environment like this on the road. You know, Purdue's played a couple road games now. They've not seen this sort of environment because playing at Florida State, playing at Texas, entirely different animal than playing road games in the Big Ten because those aren't the sort of basketball environments, the sort of basketball cultures, you know, Purdue is going to encounter in the league as it knows well by now because of obviously it has some experience playing in the Big Ten with this group. Not necessarily this team as it stands right now. This team in its current form hasn't played really in a daunting road environment quite yet. So there's always going to be some unknown. Purdue's going to put some freshmen out there, some young players, some new players that haven't been through this yet. You never really know how that's going to play out. But I don't know kind of where Purdue stands right now going into these games because they haven't been in this situation yet. I know they're playing pretty well offensively. When you look at their execution here the last three games, it's been pretty good. It's simplifying things overly to just say if they make threes, they're going to be in a better spot than they would be otherwise. That's obvious, but I think they really have to defend. I mean, that's not a groundbreaking take. You know, we've been saying this for weeks that when Purdue defends, Purdue's got a chance, and Purdue's not going to have a chance at Michigan State. It's not going to have a great chance at Wisconsin if they don't defend like they have been at home here these last three games. Purdue has been a markedly better When you look at the results, Purdue's been a markedly better team at home than it's been on the road. And that stands to reason, considering its youth, considering how new it is. But it is going to have to defend on the road the way it's defended at home here these last few games in order to have a chance.
The bench has provided quality production here recently, including against Iowa with, I think, 39 points out of the reserves. I don't know that you're going to get that kind of scoring every outing, but certainly it seems like those guys are providing quality minutes, and each of them, when they get in the game, are doing something productive. Is that an area where, if it continues, that Purdue can have a real advantage over some other teams?
I suppose. You know, they do bring more scoring-oriented guys off the bench than perhaps some of their starters, so I do think the bench scoring numbers are a little bit cosmetic. I think when Matt Harms comes off the bench, that's a starter coming off the bench, basically. So I don't know if I'd look at the scoring numbers off the bench as the end all be all of everything, but it's certainly not a bad thing. It certainly isn't a bad thing when you have a lot of guys scoring for you. Obviously you're going to rely a lot on Carson Edwards, a lot on Ryan Klein for scoring. The more support they can get, the more multidimensional you are, the more balanced you are. And balance is, I mean, it's so important to this team because you're going to have games where Ryan Klein and Carson Edwards don't make 50% of their threes on a lot of attempts. So they have to be able to get some scoring otherwise. The way Carson Edwards has been taking the ball to the basket the last few games, I think really matters for this team. I think that really, really is a big deal because it gives defenses more they have to worry about. It draws fouls. It gets Purdue to the foul line. The way Matt Harms has scored around the basket the last few games, the way Travion Williams has come in and done some pretty positive things on the interior as an offensive player, the way Aaron Wheeler made threes and has just made shots and made plays the last few games has been kind of a shot in the arm. Just the more people who are scoring for Purdue, the better off they are. The more people who are executing properly, for Purdue, the better off they are. When you looked at this team earlier in the season, it was basically Ryan Klein and Carson Edwards are going to shoot 23s a game between them. Yeah. When they shoot well, Purdue's pretty good. When they don't shoot well, you know, Purdue's going to lose. And this team now looks like more people have grown into roles to where this is a much more complete offensive team. It's going to have to be, because you aren't going to win very many Big Ten games if you're just living and dying by the three. And that's also where the defensive part of it obviously comes in. That's not groundbreaking to suggest that Purdue has to play well at both ends of the floor. But obviously this isn't just about offense.
This week, a step back if Purdue does not earn at least a split in these two games?
That would be hard for me to say, because I don't think Purdue is going to be the favorite either of these games. I don't know about Wisconsin, but I would not think on paper that Purdue is going to be viewed as a team that's going to go into East Lansing at this point and win. So saying that up front, when the deck is kind of stacked against them in general, this is a team that still hasn't won a road game. Obviously, they've only played a couple. They've not won a game against a high major opponent away from Mackey Arena. It would be really hard for me to say that this team, if they don't do this in two really difficult Big Ten road games, has taken a step backward. Because I still think this team's in a place where it's still kind of feeling its way around a little bit. This is still a team growing into what it's going to be. I know it's halfway through the season. I know they should be at a place where they're almost up to optimal level, whatever that optimal level is going to be. But I just don't think this team's a finished product yet. As well as they've played at home, I still think they can be more consistent from a defensive perspective. They were pretty good generally against Iowa, but they didn't get off to a great start. I think, you know, Purdue still has some upside there. I still think you have some young guys who are trending well, Eric Hunter being one of them, Aaron Wheeler being another one, Trevion Williams being yet another one. And I just think as those guys get better and better, this team is still going to be something more than it is right now. I don't know if it's there yet, so I wouldn't want to say that if Purdue doesn't win at Michigan State, if Purdue doesn't win at Wisconsin, historically two of the most difficult places to play in the Big Ten, that says something about where they are. But if they win some of these games, then obviously you can look at it entirely differently and say, hey, this team's here, or this team has gotten to where it needs to be now, and now things look really good for them moving forward in the Big Ten.
Much more as Purdue gets into that game against Michigan State late on Tuesday night at the site at goldandblack.com. Thanks, Brian.
No problem, Kyle. Thanks, man.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that here in just a moment on Gold and Black Radio. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer-inspired cocktails and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or an event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
If you are looking to list or buy a home in Greater Lafayette, give me a call at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. Part of the Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, we can offer a specialized marketing plan with photos, video tours, and more to help you sell your house while helping you get into your next dream home. Contact me at kyle@chartersteam.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
Much more reaction at goldenblack.com on Marcus Bailey's decision, David Bell's as well, and more previews as Purdue gets set to take on Michigan State on Tuesday night in East Lansing. That'll do it for our show for this week. We'll be back at 10 o'clock next Monday for more. Be sure to listen to Gold and Black Express as news breaks. Those will drop as well.
Thanks to our sponsors, Follett's, the 6th Street Dive, Purdue Federal Credit Union, East End Grill, First Source Bank, and Charters Team at RE/MAX Ability Plus. For Brian Newbert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.